not just a habit. It's a good habit. There's habits that are good. But it's not just a habit. We come with expectations. Believing the Lord is going to minister, move by His Spirit, bless us in His presence, and increase our faith. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And thank the Lord, it's not a doom and gloom message. Amen. It's a uplifting and powerful message that we have today. But in the same way, when fishermen go fishing, they go with expectations. They don't go with, we're not going to catch anything today. I don't know what we're doing out here anyway. We're just wasting time, getting wet, cold, miserable. No, they go with expectations. We're going to catch them. We're going to get them. Shoppers go shopping. I won't say who, but you go with expectations. Going to find the outfit you need. The shoes are going to be on sale, so we're going to buy two pair. You go to the table, and places are all set, and you may be doing it buffet style, after you pray, go to the counter, or it may all be on the table, but you go with expectations. This is going to be good. This is going to taste excellent. And we're not disappointed. Praise God. Well, this lesson has to do with food to some degree. Food that was disgusting. And then food that was scrumptious. But there was unexpected provision. And oftentimes that's how God operates. And things are unexpected. Unexpected ways. The focus thought brings out God works in unexpected ways to bring His purpose to pass. Amen. And it's wonderful when our purpose coincides with His or lines up with His purpose. When our purposes are at crossways, we may be disappointed. But how good it is to know that the Lord ministers to us and provides in ways that we may not even know. Sister Glover and I were married in 74, and some of you may remember a gas shortage that was going on at that time. We left our car decorated, just married and all of that stuff, because the gas station people, they were rationing at that time. I mean, you only get 3 gallons or 5 gallons or something like that. And they felt sorry for us, and said, "Oh, you're just married, I'll fill you up." And so it worked out pretty good. But we were on our way from Portland to Seattle to catch the ferry back up to Alaska. And the car that had done very well, gas-wise, is now pulling a trailer with all my wife's worldly goods in it. And because it was pulling a trailer, the gas didn't last as long, and I ran out of gas on the freeway. So now what? We got to catch the ferry. We're out of gas. The gas stations are not selling very much. What to do? Well, I told Alicia, lock the doors. Don't open the doors for anybody. And I started walking. I got less than 100 yards down the road, and a car pulled up behind our car in the trailer. So I turned around and went back. This man got out, went to his trunk, got a gas can out, came over to the car, undid the cap, dumped a couple of gallons in, hardly said a word. and offered him some money, and he took a little bit, you know, with a smile, and back to his car, and stowed things, and away he went, and away we went. And, you kind of wonder, how did that happen? How was there someone who would come within minutes of us pulling over to the side, you know, and then when we picked up the owners of the car, returning the car because we're getting on the ferry, we pulled into a gas station to get gas, and they would put sawhorses up, you know, barricades up to show that they were closed. And they opened only for an hour or whatever, and people would scout around, you know, to where to get gas. And it was crazy. And we pulled in to the gas pump, and the attendant went running out with the barricade. We were the last customer. Then we got gas, praise God. So the Lord knows how to provide. Amen. The Lord knows how to do the work, even in unexpected ways, unexpected situations. I'm thankful He works in the way He wants. And that's why we pray, Your will be done. And we ask the Lord to fulfill His will in our situations and our needs. And I'm thankful that He does. That's what happened in this lesson. Didn't come the way they perhaps were thinking, didn't have the resolution that they figured was going to come to pass, but God worked His will, and it was miraculous. Praise God. And I'm thankful that the Lord is able to work and have His power and His blessing. Now, the king who is in charge at this time has made some very poor decisions. And it's no wonder he's the son of Ahab, and he's got the influence both of his mom and dad in his life now, and that's a very poor influence, very selfish influence, very sinful influence. And so it's no wonder that the situation is so bad that things were really, really going downhill fast. But yet, the king doesn't appear to humble himself. He doesn't appear to repent. He doesn't ask, you know, that the Lord intervene and so on. Instead, he blames Elisha. And that blame situation is interesting. How things will oftentimes unfold, and I've got to think it has its roots in pride. Not my fault, you know. There's an element of pride, because pride brings division, and we know Satan fell because of pride, and pride will, if it goes unchecked, goes unrepented, it will bring any relationship to failure. And that's the unfortunate thing about pride. And the king was very much operating in that realm, in that sphere. And things were going downhill very, very fast, very, very poor. And to where, oh goodness, 80 pieces of silver. I'm not sure what the equivalent is for today, 5 pieces of silver. But the larger amount would buy a donkey's head, and the lesser amount would buy dove's droppings. Neither sound very appetizing. You know, maybe the muscle in the donkey's jaw could be made into some kind of stew. Head cheese, I guess, is, you know, that brings up a point, doesn't it? There are cultural dishes that seem very strange to those who are not raised in that culture. And cultural dishes that are prized, oh my, this is choice. And those of us who haven't been privileged to grow up in that culture, that setting, wonder how can that be something good? Well, neither of these items would consider good, and certainly the third item, the third way of satisfying hunger for these people is far from what is acceptable. One woman saying, "We'll boil my son, and then we'll boil your son." You know, the sad part of some people's decisions, people make choices, people make decisions. The sad part of some of their decisions is the children don't have a say. They're impacted. They do without. They don't have the influence of God when the mom and dad walk out the door and leave the church. And that's time that is lost, and it hurts when you consider what is gone there. But I'm thankful the Lord is able to do make some changes. We've got to trust in God's omnipotence and how He can intervene in natural circumstances, including economic and financial, including health, and every other way that we might require the things of God. And I'm so thankful that He's able to step in and make a difference and bring a change and rescue. Praise God. And thank the Lord, Elisha heard from God and was able to say, "Tomorrow about this time." That's pretty amazing, because in 24 hours, you know, even if they had placed an order and expected a great caravan to bring foodstuffs, it wouldn't happen in 24 hours. The Syrian army would intercept them anyway and confiscate everything that was coming to Samaria. "Tomorrow about this time." And he gave what was to be sold for a fraction of, just a tiny fraction of what was being spent on a donkey's head and dove's dung. And of course the man said, "Well, if there's windows in heaven, how can that be?" There are people who struggle with God's promise about windows in heaven, aren't there? And but yet if they would try it, I think they'd be pleasantly surprised. Most of us have been. God's faithful, and He's faithful to His word. And thank God, He continues to be faithful to His word. And the windows of heaven in the aspect of giving and tithe and offering is strong, it's sure, it's certain, and it works. Praise God. And I'm thankful for what the Lord is able to do. But my goodness, you think about how the Lord could do a work like that for us. "Tomorrow about this time, you will have your answer." That would be incredible, huh? "Tomorrow about this time, you will be healed." "Tomorrow about this time, you're going to hear a trumpet." Oh, my goodness. Wouldn't that be incredible? Amen. But I really think that's how we've got to live. Because tomorrow about this time, it could happen. Or even today, it can happen. God help us to have the expectations of doing the Lord's work. Praise God. So this man on whom the king leaned, you know, he said, If there were windows in heaven, how can this be? Remember how Naaman requested of Elisha after his healing? How he said, when I go with the king into the house or to the temple of Ramon, basically forgive me, give me dispensation, because I'm not there to worship him. I'm just doing lip service. Remember how he said that? So apparently, here was a man on whom the king leaned, you know, he's an attendant, a helper, a servant, and he's the one who spoke up. I don't know how he felt that he had the right to spout off, but he did. And doubt can come from anywhere. But faith has got to rise to believe the Lord. Amen. A mistrust in God is going to cause people to miss out, and we don't want to miss out. We want to be blessed in the way that the Lord would have us to receive, amen, and the blessings that God would present. God's word. You know, I was thinking just yesterday about astronomers, and I think I saw an article that said something about lost planet found. I didn't read the article. I just saw the headline, and then it caused me to start thinking, just briefly, about the different kinds of stars that astronomers have found, and how they I guess they believe or know or perceive or whatever that gravity can stop light, and that's how we have quasars. They look like beacons. They look like lights flashing, you know, on off. Because of the gravitational pull. And their theory of a black hole is that the star has collapsed on itself and the gravitational pull is so strong that no light can escape. And the density of that star is just immense. And then I thought, I wonder if that black hole is a bottomless pit that somebody's going to occupy here. Praise God. But and there's a whole bunch more that I don't grasp, I don't understand. You know what I mean. There's a lot of stuff that astronomers have found. And yet, the Genesis account simply says he made the stars also. Kind of an afterthought. Kind of is God just flinging them out there. And all of their majesty and wonder and so on. Our God is incredible. Amen. And his word is powerful. Isaiah 55 and verse 11 is something that we can be confident in. Elisha made the prophecy, tomorrow about this time. And then there was the question, well, if there's windows in heaven, how can there be? But this is the promise that God gave about his word. My word be that goeth forth out of my mouth shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And see, when we stay with the word, when we're our foundation is the word. When we present the word, we share the word of God, you can have confidence that that promise is going to happen. It's not going to return void. It is going to prosper. It is going to accomplish the Lord's plan and do what he pleases. Praise God. That's why we stay with the word of the Lord and not venture off into some idea and some philosophy, but to stay with what God's word says. All right, so then here are these four lepers. Very unlikely, very, very much on the outside. They've already, because of their condition, they've already been ostracized. They're already outsiders. They're sharing in the lack, but they've already had that for some time now. Not only the lack of food, but the lack of fellowship, the lack of family, the lack of income, the lack of occupation, the lack of adequate housing, you know, just so many things that they had to do without. You talk about a quarantine quartet. These poor guys are in tough shape. And they say, why sit we here until we die? We're going to die anyway. No, that's not a fatalistic attitude. They simply were assessing the situation and recognizing we sit here, we starve, we enter the city, we starve, we go to the enemy, they may slaughter us, or they may feel sorry for us and give us some scraps and some leftovers, and let's get up and go. And so they started their trip. The army of the Assyrians was camped not too far away. They were laying siege to Samaria, so they were close by, and they felt they could make that journey. It's interesting that God would use those individuals and how that the outcome changed completely because of their willingness to step forward. It's something to marvel at. You know that word marvel is found a few times in Scripture, and even the Lord marveled. He marveled at faith. And he marveled at the lack of faith. And the authorities that were talking to Peter and John, the apostles, you know, and the lame man standing there. Well, he wasn't just standing. He was jumping up and down. He was flexing his legs. He was doing jumping jacks. He was just doing everything because he was exercising his newfound balance and stability and equilibrium and all, you know, running and hopping and skipping and everything that he could. That's not in Scripture. That's just my imagination. But that's not what they marveled at. Those authorities marveled that Peter and John, the apostles, were ignorant and unlearned. Oh, my. That's their pride showing through, isn't it? But they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Maybe I hope that's what they were marveling at as well. Not just the fact that these were men who they considered to be unqualified and not able to measure up to, you know, Gamaliel and so on. But hopefully they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Praise God. That is something that can make a difference. That is something that people can recognize. You know, you're different. Not just because of the way you dress, thank God for that, but because of the spirit you have, the attitude you show, and the consideration that you give to others. So these four men decided, there's no point in us sitting here until we die. Let's go and see what would happen if we go to the Syrians' camp. You know that a fear of consequences is a good thing. I think fear can be healthy. You know, there are things that you shouldn't do. You shouldn't be you know, fearless to the point of being foolish. But at the same time, and most of the time, fear is crippling. And thank the Lord, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's where we're able to step into the blessings that God has for us. But fear can be a hindrance. It can be paralyzing. And the devil, that's one of his favorite tools. Fear has torment. And thank God, perfect love casts out that fear. Amen. And the Lord in his power can do that work. Amen. and his blessings can come forth in a tremendous way. And we thank God for it. But good decisions use, you know, a balance of fear and courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. It moves forward in spite of fear. And it makes an informed decision, a good decision. Success is based on that. And we make decisions. Now, there's decisions that are momentous and decisions that are, not so great. I don't have to pray and ask God what pair of socks to put on. I don't think he cares what pair of socks I have, to put on. He's provided them, put them on. But there are some people who get caught up in stuff like that. But I mentioned my wife and I returning to Alaska. That was part of our honeymoon, to be on that ferry, riding back up. And did I pray about who to marry? Oh, strong crying and tears. I'll tell you what, pastoring in Huna by myself, sitting in that four-bedroom apartment and waking up by myself, going to sleep by myself, sitting at that table by myself, you better believe I was praying and fasting and believing God for somebody to share my ministry. I put an ad in the Pentecostal Herald. It was called Pentecostal Herald back in those days. I put an ad about needing a wife and a piano player, and send a picture of piano. No, I didn't do that. But the Lord blessed me with someone who is very, very musical. I pastored in Huna for a year and a half without music. We had somebody come and get the Holy Ghost, get baptized and played, but her husband took her out. And anyway, I told you we sang Avocado. I know it's supposed to be a cappella. But when we sang, everybody turned green because it sounded so horrible. So when my wife came, praise God, we were in the promised land. So decisions. We got to make good decisions and have the blessing of the Lord to come in our lives. Amen. And we make those decisions based on our faith in God, in spite of what we see around us. Those 12 spies went into the land. They came back with grapes and what else? Pomegranates and figs. It wasn't just grapes. They came back with abundance of fruit and said, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. And there are giants in the land. But only Joshua and Caleb said, we can go. God will give it to us. There's going to be victory. And the others, unfortunately, had the louder voices and the more persuasive, and Israel ended up not going. And the 40 days that the spies were in the land became 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. But Moses was constantly trying to encourage them, to let them know, the Lord is going to fight for you. Deuteronomy 3:22, the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. And that's a theme that is repeated several times in Deuteronomy. But yet they drew back and didn't step forward in their faith that God is going to take care of them. And even when they did enter into the promised land, Jericho and Ai and on from there, the battles continued. just like our battles continue in our Christian walk. As you know, you win victory over the flesh at one time and pops up another way. And you got to do the battle again. And whatever format, whatever way that the flesh is trying to pull you down. But we need to remind ourselves, like Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, in verse 15, the message comes, the battle belongs to God. Don't fear. The battle belongs to God. Verse 12 of that story gives a real accurate description of where they were. They were praying, God, we don't have any might to come against this army, against this host. We don't know what to do. We don't have a plan. But our eyes are on you. That's a good place to look. Amen. And Brother Churchill remembers the chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world can grow dim in the light of his glory and grace. Praise God. Thank the Lord. That's where we need to keep our eyes. Because you look around at the problems, you look around at the circumstances, and man, it can get discouraging. It can get upsetting. And you feel like you're going backwards instead of forwards. But thank the Lord, God is able to bring about the work that he desires to fulfill. He told the crowd, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Praise God. I'm thankful that a measure of desperation can bring about the changes that the Lord wants to make in our circumstances. Being lackadaisical about our soul's condition, being indifferent and apathetic about any number of needs probably is not going to result in very much miraculous. But with a measure of desperation, praise God, I'm thankful the Lord is able to do the work that he desires to do. David would make the statement, I was young and now I'm old. But he made one positive statement, one observation. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And thank the Lord, there would be that confidence that he would have that the things of the Lord would be fulfilled. Amen. Now, those of you who are here from out of state, you obviously arrived on a jet plane. And the flight attendant got up as you were taxiing and went through the safety measures, the safety announcements, right? How did they do the mask? Did they say, remove your mask and then put on the mask? That format has to change a little bit because you're wearing a mask, right? Already, when you go on board. The mask will fall. Put it on. Put yours on first. Put yours on first. That's kind of selfish. That's being self-centered. No. No, that's a real strong parallel to salvation. Make sure you have your place in God before you try to help somebody else. Amen. And that recognition is so important. Because you do, when you do step into the realm of salvation, you do have something to offer. You do have something to share. Praise God. And I'm thankful that the Lord provides for us that blessing. So take off your mask before you put on the mask. I don't know how they're going to change that, how they're going to change their little routine, but I suppose most of us could figure it out. Because that oxygen is important. Just like breathing in the Holy Ghost is important. Amen. Okay, so here those men go. And somehow the Lord makes the enemy to hear a different sound. And they conclude, uh-oh, the army of the Hittites, the army of the Egyptians, have been conscripted and made mercenaries, and they're coming to fight us. And we better flee. And so they did. Totally unreasonable. Total chaos. Now, the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. But it sure looked like he sent confusion here. And in Jehoshaphat's story, you know, they began, there was ambushments that were sent against three armies that were coming against the people of Israel. How did God do that? How did that confusion and chaos come to the enemies, but clear direction and victory and power come to God's people? We need to make sure who we're lined up with. We need to make sure who we're serving. Amen. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Make sure he's your God, not just in what we say, but how we live. All your mind, all your soul, all your heart, all your strength. Praise God. Don't leave anything out. Serve God with everything you've got. Amen. And so here they go. They're marching into the camp of the Syrians, and there's nobody there. The fires are burning. Tents are flapping in the breeze. Animals are standing close by, or maybe they're not. Maybe they went galloping off on there. But food cooking over the fire. And oh, those lepers just dive in. And then they run into the tents. And here's beautiful garments and gold and silver. You know, what in the world's the army doing with all of that stuff in their tents? Well, evidently, they've been on other campaigns and have conquered other kingdoms, and they have all of the spoils with them, all of the booty that they've taken from other towns and so on, and they haven't been home for a while, and now they're hoping to conquer Samaria and get some more. But now the lepers have it, stuff they haven't had for years. And they're sitting there, you know, and one of them says, we're not doing so good. We do not well. And one of the others says, what do you mean we do not well? Pass me another drumstick. And this is the best food we've had in a long time. They passed on the pork, of course. And they had beef and pigeons and whatever else. We do not well. And they recognize the city is in need. Now, they could have had the attitude, the city threw us out. We've been living outside the gate for years now. We only live on a pittance of what people throw our way. Why should we have any concern, any mercy, any sharing? This is all ours. You know, there's acres of camps, of tents and fires and so on. But thank the Lord, they went back, and we know the story. They gave, and tomorrow about this time, it happened. And Elisha told the man who questioned about the windows of heaven, he didn't partake. He saw it, but he didn't partake. That's a pretty sad thing. God, help us not just to see, but to partake as well. Amen. And to help others partake. There's a world that needs. And the world that is in desperate situation. Brother Mike has shared how strong he feels that this is a spiritual battle. We're not just talking about health. We're not just talking about economy. We're not just talking about situations that are ongoing in our cities today. This is a spiritual battle. And we can't just sit back and say, it'll be over soon. The Lord's going to step in and we're going to get back to normal. You better be stepping up to the battle. You need to be stepping forward with prayer and with fasting and believing that God is going to intervene in these situations. And it may not become like it was 4 months ago, 6 months ago, whatever. But the church is going to be victorious. Amen. The power of God is going to be displayed. The blessings of the Lord are going to come forth. Amen. God, help us. God, help us to have confidence in that word. By faith, we believe the worlds were framed by the word of God. Amen. And his word upholds all things. All things are upheld by the word of his power. Amen. That's the word we trust. That's the word we preach. That's the word we share. And we need to share it more than ever in this time. Amen. And there may be those who feel like, oh, I don't need to hear it. I don't need to, you know, and so on. But there are those who are looking. There are those who are hungry. There are those who are searching. And you need to put feet on your faith and step forward. Praise God. And believe that God's going to do that work. Amen. And thank the Lord. The power that God wants to bring into our experience is there. Thank the Lord for that power. That the apostle said, we see through a glass darkly. We may not, it's not clear. It's not, you know, not exactly in evidence of how the Lord's going to work it out. You know, we look through foggy windows. Hard not to draw something on that foggy window. The side of your fist, you know, a little foot. Make sure there's five dots on top. No, clear that window and take a look. See what God has in store for you. See how the Lord can provide, how his blessings can come forth. Because we've seen it again and again. Amen. How the Lord has provided, how the Lord has ministered, how the Lord has blessed. Praise God. And our decisions made with divine input, divine direction. Amen. So that the Lord gets the glory. And he's the one who makes the provision and the blessings that are there in unexpected ways. Oh, my goodness. Thank the Lord that he's able to provide in that way. Amen. Amen. Let's thank him for that right now. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank God. Thank God. Glory to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're expecting.